All right. Well, good morning. I'm so glad to be with you guys today. My last name is long. It has 13 letters, and five of them are silent. Three of those silent letters live in the middle, so you have to jump over them to get to the second half of the name. So when you look for us in the church directory, just look under V's, and we're the one that goes all the way across the page. But I'm so excited to be with you guys today. I was in a mom's group when my kids were little, and I look back on it with just so much fondness. I just remember all the teaching, the mentoring, the friendship that I got there, everything from how do I get my daughter to stop sucking on her pacifier, how do I get my son to potty train, he's being so stubborn, to how do I actually teach my little kids about the Lord and start to actually start that discipleship process, or how do I love my husband and learn to be a godly mother. And as important as the teaching was, don't underestimate the value of your relationships with each other. The other moms who are going through the same things you are, your peer moms and mentor moms, you're going to, you know, develop those relationships, because those are the things actually that I remember the most as I look back on those years. It's wonderful that you guys are taking time each month to come together, and I hope that you'll be encouraged by God's word today. So we'll be looking at Proverbs 31:25 today, if you want to turn there. You guys have been learning from Proverbs 31 this year. And Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. So let's pray together before we dig into this. Lord, I'm just so thankful for this opportunity. You are an amazing God. You have done amazing things in my life. And I just pray that my words today, that I would just be totally used by you, that your spirit would speak to these women and help us all to learn how to follow you more closely. Just pray that the teaching would be clear and that our hearts would be receptive to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I began to prepare for today, and I sat thinking about being a young mom sitting at a table much like you are, I started to think of some of the things that my future would hold that 20 years ago hadn't happened yet. And my children were very young. There were many wonderful things that would happen. But, you know, it's really not that hard to smile at the future when you're going to take a vacation to Hawaii or you're going to move into a new house or something fun and exciting is happening. The future of every one of us also promises some difficult trials. And at that time, my future was no exception. The next 20 years would bring the death of my mother-in-law, the loss of my best friend's child at birth, discovering that my 3-year-old was hearing impaired, living through the closure of 2 companies that my husband worked for, facing more than a dozen threatened layoffs over the years, finding out that my husband was addicted to pornography, working through all those issues of anger and forgiveness, as well as sorting through the mess that our family had become, rebuilding our marriage and learning how to communicate and love each other again, and most recently facing the diagnosis of leukemia, walking with my husband through a difficult chemotherapy treatment and bone marrow transplant as he fought to live. You know, and there's also been more mundane trials. I figured out I've done over 10,000 loads of laundry in the last 20 years. There have been bouts of childhood illness, parenting a difficult child, just learning how to make ends meet sometimes. So when we know that life brings difficult times sooner or later, how do we face the future with a smile? That's what Proverbs 31 tells us, and that's what we want to ask today. So we look at our verse that says, strength and dignity are her clothing. So let's look at the word strength first. There are so many wrong ideas today about what being a strong woman is. It's not about having a strong personality, being forceful, or being in charge of something. In fact, we know from Genesis 3 that as part of the curse, we as women would desire to be in our husband's place of leadership. And many conflicts in my marriage and in a lot of marriages result from that confusion. When we've been married less than 6 months, my husband, Ty, told me, Sharon, you make great decisions. I want you to just take care of the finances. Just make the decisions. I'm fine with whatever you do. And while that sounds like delegation, he was actually handing me his responsibility. And I quite willingly took it. It took years for us to realize that that wasn't what God intended, that it was causing all sorts of problems. And it took more years for us to get that sorted out. So being strong in the sense of Proverbs 31:25 is not about being capable. It's not about being assertive. It's not about being unbending. So what is it then? The vast majority of verses in the Old Testament using this word strength either describe the Lord directly or demonstrate him giving his strength to someone else. So phrases from Psalms like, "The God of Israel himself gives strength. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you. You are the glory of their strength." Or from Isaiah 45, "Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength." There are also several verses linking God's strength to his creation. For example, Psalm 93:1 says, "The Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established, it will not be moved." So think about the strength that holds creation together. It's established, it's firm. Gravity is never going to stop working. It never really changes. The rules of God's creation that science and chemistry describe, they're completely reliable and they never change. And that's how we should view the strength that they're talking about in this, that God is talking about in this verse. The strength of our conviction should be unchanging. The depth of our trust in the Lord for everything should be firmly established. Our lives do not have to dive into a tailspin every time something difficult comes our way, because we know who God is, and we know we can trust him, absolutely. Strength is not about independence or self-sufficiency at all. It's about a commitment to follow God and believe that what he says is true. The second characteristic in Proverbs 31:25 is dignity. This is a harder word. We don't use this word too much anymore. But a dictionary definition is, quote, "the quality or state of being worthy, honored, or esteemed." The Hebrew word is often translated majesty or splendor. And again, it most often refers to God himself. So what you're doing as a wife and a mom is full of honor. It's worthy. Do not listen to what the world says we should value. Having possessions and personal accomplishment do not bring lasting satisfaction. If I told you my testimony this morning, that's the first thing I would tell you. I was very successful in the world's eyes through school, all the way through college, and it just brings a lot of emptiness. Instead, while you guys live right now in the midst of diapers and juice and dishes, learn to see the beauty and the value of your calling as a wife and a mom. You've learned a lot this year so far about managing your household, about loving your husband, about serving your family. In fact, you may have noticed that the godly woman manages quite a full life. And now in verse 25, God says there's dignity, there's great value in that life, in your life and work at home. So look at the second half of the verse to see what happens in our lives when we depend on the Lord for his strength, and when we're content to see the value of the life he has asked us to live. It says, "and she smiles at the future." Some versions say, "and she laughs at the time to come." In fact, laugh and play are the more common translations of this word in other verses. It's important to realize that the Bible is not telling us to plaster a smile on our face and pretend that we're fine. But consider this. As easy as it is to fake a smile, how hard is it to fake a laugh? It's almost impossible to do. Have you ever heard somebody try to do it? For the most part, you can tell when a laugh is not from genuine joy. And joy is really our key here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's how that list starts out. Her smile comes not from the emotion of happiness, but from being joyful and having a true sense of peace. God's word tells us repeatedly not to be anxious, not to be fearful. There is no way that you can have a genuine smile if you're constantly worrying about what's going to happen in your future. And that is why strength and dignity are so important. A deep trust in the Lord and a true understanding of who we are as his children allow us to put our worry aside and smile instead. So, May 14th, 2012. Some dates you just never, ever forget. My husband, Ty, had been sick for nearly a week, running a 99-degree fever and not wanting to eat. And during the last couple of days, he started having shortness of breath, stomach pain, and headaches. It was getting a little weird. That Monday, he went to the doctor. I was tutoring three chemistry students when he called. The doctor had sent him to the hospital, and after some initial blood tests, they were pretty sure it was leukemia. Within 24 hours, he was on chemotherapy. two of the strongest chemo drugs in use today. And during the next 28 days, he would endure both the effects of the disease and its treatment: nausea, vomiting, mouth sores, the inability to eat, blood clots, dangerously irregular heart rhythms, fever, hallucinations, and over 40 transfusions of platelets and red blood cells, to name just a few of the things that he went through. There was never a day during that first month where anything seemed certain. He was so close to death that if he had just waited one or two more days to go to the hospital, he probably wouldn't have made it. Every day there was a new issue to deal with, something, some new concern that we were trying to figure out. I never felt any kind of assurance that he would live. What I did feel was an assurance that God was with me and would be with me through whatever happened. In fact, right at the beginning, God gave me a special gift. About a month before, I had begun praying that my daughter, Michelle, would find her journal from her missions trip to Africa. She had filled it from front to back, and it really described a major milestone turning point in her life. She kept loaning it out to people, and she had forgotten who she last gave it to, and it hadn't come back. In fact, it had been missing for almost a year at that point. So I knew it was special to her, and I decided to put it on my prayer list and just start praying about it and not even tell her what I was doing. And on the second day that we were in the hospital, when Ty's diagnosis was just coming in and all the more specialized testing was starting to come in, my mom and sister-in-law came for a visit. And just as they were leaving, my sister-in-law said, "Oh, I almost forgot. I got up in the middle of the night last night to go to the bathroom, and on my jewelry chest, I found this. I didn't even know I had it. I don't know how it got there, but you must need to read something from this." And she handed me Michelle's journal. I broke down sobbing in the waiting room. The nurses were rushing with tissue boxes. I was a blubbering idiot for the most part. But it was not from sadness or anxiety or fear. I was completely overwhelmed with the sense of God's presence and assurance that he was in absolute control of everything that was about to happen. The verse that I clung to the most during that month was Psalm 116, verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." It's kind of a strange verse to hold on to, but the verse taught me that there would be no bad endings to Ty's story. Whether he lived or died, it was all for God's glory. And it helped me to live in the moment and not be anxious for the future. Thankfully, the initial treatment put him into remission, and he began follow-up chemotherapy treatments while we consulted with a specialist. In that first consultation, we discovered that he would need a bone marrow transplant in order to have any chance of staying in remission. A young woman from Germany, who was an excellent match, agreed to donate her stem cells, and we moved to the City of Hope in Duarte, just east of Los Angeles, for 3.5 months. It began with full body radiation to eliminate any remaining leukemia cells in his body. And at the same time, he had to get chemotherapy strong enough to completely kill his own immune system and be ready for the new one. He received his new cells, and all seemed to be going well. But 3 weeks into it, he developed a sudden lung infection, and the next thing I knew, they were wheeling him off to ICU and putting him on life support. I cannot tell you what I felt in that moment, especially that night as I sat on the edge of a bed in a nearby hotel, trying to deal with the silence, no longer hearing all the beeps and whirs and noises that a hospital has. I had been staying in the hospital with him up to that point. I didn't want to believe that after all we'd already been through, it might end this way. I cried more in the next following days than at any other point in that journey, but I was also more aware of God's grace than I had ever been in my entire life. I can definitely say I had a strength and a dignity that I could not call my own. There were several things that the Lord was teaching me throughout this time. One of the biggest lessons he was teaching me was to allow myself to be taken care of. I have a strong weakness towards independence and self-sufficiency. In fact, I was often tempted during those months to start making what I called contingency plans. Should I think about going back to school? Should I get a full-time job in case this doesn't end well? Should we move so that we don't have so much to take care of? Should I think about, you know, what will I do? How will I take care of myself if Ty dies? And on my mind went. But by the time Ty went to that ICU unit, God had started to break down some of that pride. God provided some huge needs in some incredible ways. And I started to become content to see how God would provide next. I entrusted myself to the Lord, and I stopped trying to provide and plan for myself. And as a result, God started showing me new priorities. In fact, as we now return to a more normal life now, I know that my future will not be the one I planned for myself before Ty got sick. It will be better. And that really makes me smile. Ty was on that ventilator for 8 days. When they brought him out of the induced coma, he was so weak he couldn't even touch his face with his hand. He had a hematoma in one leg where he had been bleeding internally and it had collected. And he had drop foot in the other leg where he couldn't even lift his foot up off the floor. There were 3 weeks of intensive physical therapy before he was able to even leave the hospital. And then we spent 6 weeks in a little apartment on the hospital campus up there in Duarte. Each day there was either a doctor's appointment or physical therapy. We took walks to help Ty regain his strength. I cooked meals that fit very strict dietary restrictions so he wouldn't get a bacterial infection. And there was time. There was time to read. There was time to talk together. There was time to finally sleep. It was just time to be restored. And we actually look back on those weeks with fondness and feel that so much time spent together has helped us to fall in love more deeply than ever. Another gift in the midst of difficulty. Ty has made a remarkable recovery. As difficult as the experience was, we never heard the words, "the treatment isn't working." We never heard the words, "we don't have any more options." God chose to heal my husband, and I'm so thankful for that. However, I still live with an uncertain future. There's still a 30% chance that Ty might relapse in the next several years, and if he does, we'll face it all over again right from the beginning. Though fear sometimes threatens my sense of well-being, I am learning once again to smile at the future because I'm confident that it holds good things. I've already seen all the good things that God has already done, and I know that whatever happens in the future will also hold incredible blessings. So let me give you 3 practical tips for learning to clothe yourself with strength and dignity. The first one there, learn to have God's perspective on your future, especially on the trials that you will face in the future. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, in verse 3, it says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." James 1, 2 through 4 also tells us, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God does not promise us happiness, but he does promise us holiness. One of the hardest trials I have gone through in the past 20 years was my husband's addiction to pornography. I would not have willingly chosen to go through that trial if I'd been given the option. But I can say absolutely that I am glad I went through it. The lessons I learned about forgiveness and grace were priceless. The changes I saw in myself, in my husband, and even in my children as a result were pure gold. I would not want to go back to being the person I was before that trial for anything. I was self-centered, critical, and completely focused on outward appearances. When my children disobeyed, I cared more about what kind of mom it made me look like than what was going on in their hearts. I tried to control my husband's behavior. I was sarcastic and hurtful with my words. Though the trial began with my husband's sin, my own sin was exposed just as much. It took us 5 years of hard work before we began to feel healthy again, but I saw such amazing changes in my heart, my thinking, and in my character. I learned perseverance. My character was transformed to be more like Christ. I was given hope, a deeper trust in the Lord's goodness and love for me. I began to smile at the future, knowing that he will use whatever comes my way for my good. It doesn't mean that I put on a smile and pretend to be happy when I'm not. It doesn't mean that I no longer struggle with sin. It doesn't mean I never cry or feel the weight of a difficult circumstance. It certainly doesn't mean that I want difficult things to come into my life, but rather that I accept that all the trials that come, as well as all the wonderful blessings that come, are equally useful in my life. I accept everything with thankfulness. I am learning to look forward to all the future brings without anxiety, because I know my Heavenly Father loves me and wants me to become more mature. Nothing happens in our lives without a reason. So learn to look at the future with God's perspective. And secondly, develop that mindset now, not when the trial comes. I want you to notice two things about the woman in Proverbs 31:25. First, she's smiling at the future. Whatever the future holds for her has not happened yet. She has no idea what's coming her way. Yet she can still smile because she knows she can face any difficulty with confidence. She rests in the unwavering strength of her trust in God and the dignity that comes from knowing that no circumstance is ever wasted. We know that God uses all things for our good. But remember not to disconnect Romans 8:29 from Romans 8:28. Our good is primarily being transformed into the image of Christ. And that is what trials do for us. They're one of God's main tools for changing us. The other thing I want you to notice is that she clothes herself with strength and dignity. Strength and dignity are something that we have to put on. Some trials are especially difficult, and if we don't spend time reading God's word, studying it, memorizing verses that are important to us, we will not be prepared when the time comes. When my husband was in the hospital, he was so sick that I stayed by his side around the clock to help nurse him. There was so much that came my way all at once. I had so much to learn. There were so many doctors to talk to. There were so many emotions to just simply process. That wasn't the time for me to start some deep Bible study, right? Somebody gave me a great devotional, and there were days where all I could do was read a single verse and a little paragraph, and that was it. That was all I could take on. That wasn't the time where I was going to discover in the Bible where it said I needed to trust the Lord or how he was going to be faithful to me. I had to put into practice the things that I had already been learning. It was time to rest confidently in what I already knew about God, how he'd already been faithful to me over the years. And I knew I could face whatever was coming with confidence, even smiling. Psalm 1 describes the person who delights in the word and meditates on it day and night as a tree firmly planted by streams of water. It takes time for roots to grow. Trees that are planted by water, they don't grow quickly. And they certainly don't grow overnight. We need to give ourselves time to develop those roots and become stronger in our faith. So when those storms come, we have roots that are deep enough in order to withstand what comes our way. And ladies, I know it's difficult with very young children. It's hard to find time to read the Bible. It's hard to find time to pray and spend time with the Word, with the Lord every day. I get that. I remember. But it's also really important that you do that. It's important that you make it a firm priority, because if you don't, you won't be prepared. It's clothing ourselves with that strength and dignity. It's learning who God is and who we are that's going to prepare you and help you to face any difficulty that comes your way well. We have talked about having God's perspective and about developing that mindset before the difficulty comes. The third point I have for you is to remember. When God rescued the Israelites from slavery, he established the Passover so that every year the Israelites and the generations that followed them would remember what God had done, how he brought them out of Egypt. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan River in order to enter the Promised Land, they took stones from the riverbed and built a memorial so that they would remember what God had done and how he had stopped the flow of the river and allowed them to cross. Over and over again, the Psalms remind us to remember what God has done. Psalm 105 says, "Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth." The Psalms remind us to remember how he is the creator of all the world, how he rescued his people from Egypt and brought them to the Promised Land, and how he has pardoned our iniquities, crowned us with loving kindness and compassion, and satisfied our years with good things. Every week at church, we take communion so that we will remember Christ and the salvation that he purchased for us. We're prone to forget if we're not constantly reminded. We need to remember what he's already done so that we will trust for what he has promised he will do. So take time to remember how God saved you, what you were like before he saved you. Take time to reflect on trials he's already brought you through, especially realizing how much you've changed as a result from the beginning to the end of that trial. and how your faith has changed in the process. As your kids grow, tell them stories. Every night at bedtime, my husband and I would each spend a few minutes tucking our kids into bed. I no longer remember how it got started, but every night they would ask, "Tell us a true story, tell us a true story." We would tell them a quick little story, a memory from our childhood, something funny about their grandparents, something that had happened to us as a kid. I wish I could take credit for what happened, but at the time I was often kind of irritated. I don't want to come up with one more story. I don't have any more stories. But over the years, these recollections became part of our family hangout time, and they started to include more recent stories from the kids' own memories. And as our family went through difficult times and our kids became young adults, the stories started to contain spiritual lessons that we had learned as a family together. We will still sit, the four of us, and talk and recall about how God has transformed our family, how he has provided for us, how he has changed us. And these memories strengthen our faith together as a family for what he will continue to do in the future. The Proverbs 31 woman can be a little daunting at times, can't she? I mean, we're inspired by her, but we can also be a little bit discouraged. How in the world do I do all of that? How do I be all of that? That may be one reason that God placed this verse where he did in the proverb. This verse is a transition from a list of what activities the excellent woman does to a list of the qualities that an excellent wife has or is. And the first thing that God tells us is that you don't do it in your own strength. You clothe yourself with his strength, and you find your value in what he has called you to do. And as a result, we stop worrying about our future. We face each day, each month, each year with confidence. Remember that picture of the tree from Psalm 1? You may feel like you're just a young sapling. Maybe you haven't been saved that long. Maybe you've just come back to the Lord after a really dry spell. Then keep yourself planted by those streams of water. Keep yourself reading and learning and growing. Maybe you haven't really been planted by water. Maybe you're just drying up spiritually. Well, it's not too late to replant yourself and start getting into the Word and start growing. And remember that trees don't grow quickly. Learning to trust the Lord and become more like Christ is a lifelong process. Our goal is not to do it perfectly, but to do it more consistently. I would like to say one word about pornography in particular. When we got our first internet connection in 1993, my husband's struggles with pornography became much more serious than they had been in our first 4 years of our marriage. Our marriage relationship and our children suffered greatly as he became more addicted to it. Now we have a whole generation of young husbands who's had access to the internet and grown up with it. So this issue has not gotten any easier for our men. I can pretty much guarantee that some of you will have to face that particular struggle in your own future. Addressing pornography could be another whole talk, but I want to leave you with this one thought. Discovering that your husband struggles with pornography does not have to lead you into despair. The strength and dignity that we receive from the Lord are strong enough for any circumstance, even that one. Every situation is different. Every couple is different. But the Lord has many things to teach you through this very difficult struggle. And if you will learn to say, "Lord, I don't know why you're allowing this to happen. It hurts. I don't know what to do with it. But I'm willing to learn whatever you have to show me," you will become a different person. It will take time, but the roots of your faith will grow deep, and you will learn how much the Lord loves you, what the Lord is like, and what you're like. There are so many wonderful things waiting for each of you in the future. Some blessings are really easy to smile at. The hilarious things your kids will say and do over the next few years. The wonderful memories made on family vacations or long summer days. The way you see God provide for a huge need. We can readily appreciate how good God is when the blessings that come seem naturally good to us. But though some blessings are more difficult to see, illness or death in the family, financial hardships, sin issues that have to be dealt with, they are blessings nonetheless. In fact, they often turn out to be the bigger blessings, because they have eternal value. They deepen our faith and mold our character. Learn to look at your future and smile, knowing that he will be with you in every moment, working all things together for your good and changing you for the better. Ladies, you have an incredible position of influence in your families. Your strength and dignity can encourage your husband to become the leader he needs to be. When you don't panic at bad news or fret anxiously about what's going to happen, but rather come alongside your husband, you encourage him to be the leader that he needs to be. When you clothe yourselves with strength and dignity, when you trust the Lord completely and grow spiritually, God will be able to use you to influence your husband, whether it's confronting a sin issue in his own life or supporting him through a difficult crisis. In the process, you will both become more like Christ. You will become a beautiful example of love and unity to the world. It is something to look forward to, and it really should make us smile. So let's pray together. Lord, I just want to worship you as a God who is absolutely in control. There's nothing that happens that you don't allow. And there's nothing that happens that you don't allow because you love us. Because you're not content to let us wallow in our sin and continue to be unrefined. Trials are so difficult to go through. Help us to see it with your eyes and help us to learn to trust you. I am sure, I'm confident that there are some here today who are already currently going through a trial. And Lord, I just pray that you would help them to see that you are with them. I don't need to pray that you'll be with them. You are with them. Help them to see that. Help us to see how you're changing us and how you're using the circumstances of our lives to make us more like Christ. That in the end, we will be happier. And Lord, help us to deal with that fear and anxiety that we feel when we don't know what's coming our way. Help us to trust you completely for everything. Just thank you for leading us and giving us your Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we take time now to talk about some of these issues and work through our questions, that that you would really just direct our conversation to be useful and productive and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.